Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll start with a story titled Closing of Quaker Plant Shelters Top 2024 Commercial News Stories. And there are a couple pictures. One is of Patricia, a local woman dealing with homelessness, sits amongst her belongings and her dogs on a path of grass on Logan Street. And then the other one is the Quaker Oak Plant in Danville closed in June of 2024, leaving 510 individuals without work. As Vermilion County steps into 2025, the commercial news has taken a look back at 2024 and the top stories of the year. Number one was Danville Quaker Oats plant closes. The Danville Quaker Oats plant, owned by PepsiCo and one of Vermilion County's largest manufacturing employers since 1969, closed its doors in June. The closure left 510 employees out of work and both shocked and surprised the community. "I didn't know anything," Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said at the time. Following a Quaker product recall due to potential contamination of salmonella in December of 2023, production was paused at Danville facility. Officials from the City of Danville, Danville Area Community College, Vermilion County Works, and Vermilion Advantage coordinated efforts to assist and support employees affected by the closure. Number two was the Danville Village Mall up for auction. In April, it announced that the Danville Village Mall would go up for auction in three parts. The one parcel included the anchor stores of Country Market, Pet Supplies Plus, Ross Stores, and Dunman's Sports. The second parcel was the interior of the Danville Village Mall with the national retailers Joann's Fabrics, Bath & Body Works, and Hibbett Sporting Goods. The third parcel was 1.24 acres of the out parcel of the property. Two of the three Village Mall parcels were sold in May. The City of Danville attempted to purchase the mall, but was outbid. The interior portion of the mall was sold to Jimmy Virk, a California-based seasoned investor with a strong background in the payment processing industry who has successfully ventured into business and real estate pursuits, according to the press release. Virk purchased the mall for around $600K after taxes and fees. Virk and his team intend to enhance the mall's appeal with additional entertainment and dining options, including reopening the movie theater and adding additional stores. Number three was Lady Emu, local runway star, returns safely home. Early July marked the end of an era in interesting Central Illinois history when the last of the dozen runaway emus, affectionately dubbed as Lady Emu by the public, was finally captured and returned to her family. For 2 years, Lady Emu was on the run, traveling all across Central Illinois. Through blistering summers and freezing winters, she pressed on, somehow evading predators like coyotes and dogs who could have easily taken her down. People all over Vermilion County posted emu sighting photos in various groups and pages on Facebook. The successful capture of Lady Emu was an organized scheme between Lance and some local residents, the Goodner family. Back in early June, the Goodner spotted Lady Emu grazing in their yard. The area was experiencing an intense heat wave, so they decided to put out some water for her in a kiddie pool. After she returned several times for more water, Lance brought out some food for Lady Emu, which they put out near the pool, hoping to lure her back. It worked, and she started frequenting the Goodner's yard multiple times a day. In the end, Lady Emu's owner was able to bring the proper equipment necessary to facilitate her return home. "She's way better off in here. Nothing's going to get her in her pen. She's not going to get hit by a car. She's not going to get shot by a hunter," says Lance, the emu's owner. "And she's got plenty of food and water and company." Number four, Danville's Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. calls for resignation for DACC's President Naco. In an ongoing saga of back and forth between Danville's Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and now retired Danville Area Community College President Dr. Stephen Naco, allegations of racism and abuse of power were shared. Williams called for the resignations of Naco after what he described as tyrannical and denigrating behavior by NACO surrounding by their differences over a proposed plan to invite undocumented immigrants to Danville. In August, Williams wrote an open letter to the DACC Board of Trustees and shared on his Facebook page that NACO called him a liar and a political hack and then screamed at him following a Vermilion Advantage meeting. Williams claimed that NACO approached him aggressively after back and forth between the two, NACO called him boy, something Williams regarded as a racial slur used to denigrate and demean black men. As the board initiated an investigation into the incident and placed NACO on administrative leave, NACO commented, "I would say that the evidence that I provided is not necessarily congruent with what he provided, so it's going to be a case of really doing an investigation that's going to yield the truth, and the truth will come out." NACO said the incident following the Vermilion Advantage meeting left him feeling threatened by Williams. He asserted that he meant no racist undertones with the usage of the word boy to the mayor. Instead, NACO said he was simply speaking to someone much younger than him, something he would have said to anyone in Williams' place, who behaved in that way. "I felt threatened. I thought he was going to hit me. He's 20 years younger than me, and I thought he was going to hit me," NACO said at that time. "So I said, 'Are you going to hit me, boy?'" In the end, NACO would submit his notice of retirement from the college effective in mid-December of 2024. In addition, NACO was denied the opportunity to run for an open seat on the DACC Board of Trustees. Following opposition stating signatures NACO acquired in support of his running for the seat were not properly filed. And number five, as houses everywhere, but nowhere to live. As the number of dilapidated houses continues to grow across Danville, so do those in the unhoused population. The year 2024 saw the close of Danville Rescue Mission's men's shelter and Day Spring Women's Shelter, leaving many of the community without a place to rest their heads, a meal to fill their stomachs, and a warm place to retreat from the cold. Both shelters were forced to close earlier this year due to issues with the buildings, as well as a loss of funding under the previous leadership. Danville Rescue, a formerly Vermilion Community Restoration, found itself in the dark with more than $30,000 in debt they inherited in 2024. A $13,000 electricity bill was hindering its efforts to reopen the local men's shelter ahead of winter. The power to the building was cut off in September. Just this week, the mission was able to restore the power to the men's shelter after months of seeking assistance and fundraising. The shelter also announced in 2024 that it would be a gender-affirming shelter once the shelters reopen. The Vermilion County Pride Coalition helped raise more than $3,000 for the shelters in October, but that money was left in limbo when the board's previous president, Christopher Cohen, issued a statement asserting that people would be assigned to a shelter that matched their sex and birth. In November, the board issued a new statement that began with the apology for any offense to the previous statement may have caused and clarified the board would be choosing to adhere to the federal guidelines regarding transgender individuals. Moving forward, the statement said all people will be placed according to their gender identity to maintain an environment that is welcoming and respectful to all. The next story is titled Sheriff's Department Warns of Scams. The Vermilion County Sheriff's Department is warning residents of a phone scam circulating in the recent days asking for money to avoid arrest. The VCSD has received several calls of phone scammers that are contacting citizens and claiming to be with the Sheriff's Department. The scammers are making calls appear to come from a legitimate Sheriff's Department phone number and are using the names of real deputies and judges, VCSD Captain Michael Hartshorn said. Scammers are telling individuals they have missed court and owe money to avoid being arrested. The victim is then instructed to provide their personal information by buy Bitcoin for the amount requested and send the scammer a copy of the Bitcoin receipt. The Sheriff's Department reminds residents that law enforcement will never contact citizens by phone to tell them about an arrest warrant or fines owed. Illinois is a no-cash bail state, so even if there was a legitimate warrant for someone, they would not be able to post money for bond, Hartshorn said. If you receive the phone call, type of phone call, hang up immediately and do not answer any of the scammer's questions or provide any personal information. Anyone receiving a call believed to be from a scammer should call 911 to speak to an officer or deputy to file a report. Illinois is a no-cash bail state, so even if there was a legitimate warrant for someone, they would not be able to post money for a bond. Next story is titled, Danville Rescue Restores Power to Men's Shelter Gears Up for Reopening Overnight. This is written by Kegla White. After months of fundraising and seeking assistance from the city, Danville Rescue has successfully restored power to its men's shelter building at 834 Bowman Avenue. We were able to open a new account as the new Danville Rescue Organization, President Michael Ewing said. The shelter had previously been working to raise funds to help pay off an electric bill with Ameren that had skyrocketed to $22,000 under the previous board. We only had to pay a $5,000 deposit, Ewing said, adding that the board still plans to make arrangements to pay off the old account's balance. We're not just going to abandon it, he said. With the electricity turned back on, the men's shelter is one step closer to reopening, though there are still some significant repairs that need to be done to get the building up to code. In the meantime, Danville Rescue is on the road to temporarily opening their women's shelter to serve as overnight shelter for men. We've got a couple insurance companies that are writing up some policies. Once we get the insurance, we can open, Ewing said. As part of their work to get the women's shelter up to code, the fire code, they were forced to cut back available beds from 33 to 20. We're only going to be able to have 14 beds downstairs. One room upstairs will serve as a space for the house managers who live there full time, while another upstairs room will be reserved for trans men. This new change comes after the organization's boards voted to place people according to their gender identity, a reversal of their previous policy of placing people according to the gender they were assigned at birth. The organization has raised around $25,000 in donations, most of which they have received thanks to people purchasing items at the thrift store. The thrift store is really making a difference selling those donations. That's our main income, and we're doing really well, Ewing said. Most of the money raised has been used to make necessary repairs to both buildings, including paying past due balances on electricity, garbage, and printing supplies. We fixed all electrical and plumbing issues to be cleared with city inspectors. That money is also used to pay the salaries of employees at the thrift store. Though there is no clear date in mind as to when the shelter can be reopened, Ewing is confident it won't take long, and he says it's all thanks to the support of the community. We want to thank the community for entrusting us with their financial donations. We are striving to be good stewards and to continue to partnership with the community to house the in-house, Ewing said. The organization is currently applying for different grants to help continue the work. Things are working out. There's protocol to adhere to in applying for grants. Once we have secured a few more grants, we can open up the shelters again and then be able to open the women's shelter to women again, Ewing said. 2025 is really looking bright for us, and with their continued help, it will be a success. The organization also has plans in the works to reconnect with the food bank in Bloomington once they are open again. In the meantime, they are requesting donations for perishable and non-perishable food items in order to prepare to provide a supper and a light breakfast to the men staying in a temporary overnight shelter. Donations can be dropped off at the thrift store located at 900 East Fairchild in Danville, and there is a picture of the Danville Rescue Mission on Bowman Avenue in Danville that now has power. Work will continue to get the building ready to serve the community. Okay, there's just one obituary today. Carol S. Hicks, 85, of Osmond Beach, Florida, formerly from Danville, Illinois, after declining health since June, made her transition on 12/22/24 in the arms of her daughter. A celebration of life for Carol will take place at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, January 7th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Monday, January 6th at the funeral home in Danville, and 1 hour prior to the service on Tuesday, January 7th. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the Humane Society in Danville or the Halifax Humane Society in Daytona Beach, Florida. Next story is titled, 8 Ways to Live Healthier in 2025. Take steps to limit risk for cardiovascular diseases. And this is a family features. The last decade has seen a surge in cardiovascular risk factors such as uncontrolled high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity, each of which raises the risks of developing heart disease and stroke. These trends are leading researchers to conclude that the prevalence of cardiovascular disease known as CVD will continue to rise. More than 60% of United States adults will have some type of CVD by 2050, according to forecasted projections from the American Heart Association, which is celebrating 100 years of life-saving services as the world's leading nonprofit organization focused on heart and brain health for all. Additionally, total costs related to CVD are expected to nearly triple in that time to more than $1.8 trillion. The increase will be driven by an older, more diverse population, but those risk factors are rising even among children and adults. We recognize the landscape of cardiovascular health will change over the next 3 decades because of the coming tsunami of rising health care costs and older population living longer and increasing numbers of people from under-sourced populations, said American Heart Association volunteer Karen E. Joint Maddox, MD. Yet these are still leading causes of death and disability in the United States. While continued systemic changes are needed in science, policy, and healthcare, the majority of CVD is preventable at an individual level. You can help turn the tide on the dire outlook of CVD while improving your own health by following and encouraging others to follow the American Heart Association's Life's Essential 8. Eat better, aim for an overall healthy. Eat better, aim for an overall healthy eating pattern, including whole fruits and vegetables, lean protein, nuts, seeds, and cooking with olive oil and canola oils. Be active. Adults should get 2.5 hours of moderate or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity per week. Kids should have 60 minutes every day, including play and structured activities. Quit tobacco. Use of inhaled nicotine delivery products, which includes traditional cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, and vaping, is the leading cause of preventable death in the United States. Get healthy sleep. Most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Children figure 10 to 16 hours for ages 5 and younger, including naps, 9 to 12 hours for age 6 to 12, and 8 to 10 hours for 13 to 18. Manage weight. Achieving and maintaining a healthy weight has many benefits. Body mass index is a useful gauge. Optimal BMI is less than 25, but less than 18 is considered underweight. You can calculate it online or consult a healthcare professional. Controlled cholesterol. High levels of non-HDL or bad cholesterol can lead to heart disease. Your healthcare professional can consider non-HDL cholesterol as the preferred number to monitor rather than total cholesterol because it can be measured without fasting beforehand and is reliably calculated among all people. Manage blood sugar. Most of the food you eat is turned into glucose or blood sugar your body uses as energy. Over time, high levels of blood sugar can damage your heart, kidneys, eyes, and nerves. Manage blood pressure. Keeping your blood pressure within acceptable ranges can keep you healthier longer. Levels less than 120 over 80 are optimal. High blood pressure is defined as 130 to 139 systolic pressure, the top number in the reading, or 80 to 89. Diastolic pressure, the bottom number. Find more ways to manage your health in the new year and beyond at heart.org. It's slow news day, so we'll do a sports story. Fighting for 10, Illinois gets past South Carolina in Cheez-It Bowl. This is from Orlando, Florida. Josh McCray scored his second touchdown of the game on a 9-yard run midway through the fourth quarter to give number 21 Illinois the lead, and the Illini held on to beat number 14 South Carolina 21-17 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl on Tuesday. Illinois defense sealed the win by stopping South Carolina, who was 9-4 at the 7-yard line with a little more than 3 minutes remaining. McCray sealed the victory and helped the Illini run out the clock with a 60-yard run on the 3rd-and-2 play from the 15-yard line at Illinois, as Illinois 10-3 closed out the fifth 10-win season in program history and its first since 2001. He never looks for outward excuses, Illinois coach Brett Bielema said of McCray. He just works hard and does a lot of really good things to make these days happen. McCray, named the game's MVP, rushed for 114 yards on 13 carries and 2 touchdowns. Luke Altmaier threw for 174 yards with a touchdown and an interception. The teams exchanged the lead 5 times and neither led by more than 1 score. Illinois took its final lead on McCray's touchdown run of 7:29 remaining. South Carolina's quarterback Lenora Sellers completed 24 of 34 passes for 260 yards and a touchdown from the Gamecocks, who fell short of the fifth 10-win season in program history. He threw a 6-yard touchdown pass to Joshua Simon in the third quarter for his only score. They could not connect again in the fourth quarter, leading to the critical turnover and on downs. Obviously, we want to win, Sellers said. Some things didn't go our way tonight. We have to get back to work and focus on next season. Oscar Attaway, the third, rushed for 69 yards on 14 carries, including a 36-yard touchdown run early in the fourth quarter that gave South Carolina a short-lived lead. South Carolina coach Shane Beamer needed to be restrained from pursuing Illinois coach Brett Bielema during a stoppage in the third quarter after Bielema came toward South Carolina's sideline with his arms extended, a signal to them that he was not happy with a signal given earlier in the game. Beamer and Bielema have confirmed the dispute was over a signal South Carolina's kick returners gave on the third quarter kickoff when a player gave the typical signal they would let the ball go over their head and not return the ball. But the Gamecocks not only fielded the kick, but tried to lateral play that ended with a tackle at the 25. Beamer said he cleared the use of that signal with the Big 12 officiating crew before the game, and that it was legal as long as the returners did not wave their arms like a fair catch. Bielema agreed that returning the kick was not against the rules, but went against the spirit of using the signal to limit injuries on kickoff returns. South Carolina had several missed chances that cost the team opportunities to take the lead. In addition to the failed fourth down failed fourth down conversion late in the fourth quarter. The Gamecocks did not convert on a fourth down play from 11-yard line in the second quarter when holder Kai Kroger's pass to Alex Huntley in the end zone fell incomplete. Kicker Alex Herrera also missed a field goal off the right upright at the end of the second quarter. In the Gamecocks went 2-for-4 in the red zone overall. The whole key to the game was finishing, Beamer said. We didn't finish. Illinois and South Carolina looked to make program history by winning the 10th game of the season in the Citrus Bowl. Illinois experience with the junior Altmaier under center won the day to hit that mark, but Illinois has one of the youngest rosters in the power of conferences, so does South Carolina. Settlers put on an impressive display, and the future looks bright for both of the teams in 2025. South Carolina looks to build on its strong finish and six-game winning streak to close the regular season. The Gamecocks will be in Atlanta to face Virginia Tech on August 13th in its season opener. Illinois will look to build on a strong showing this season and will open the 2025 season on August 30th against Western Illinois. And then there were several pictures here. Let me get them up here for you. One says Illinois running back Josh McCray, center, raises the championship trophy after his team wins over South Carolina in the Citrus Bowl NCAA college football game as head coach Brett Bielema-Wright looks on Tuesday in Orlando. And then there's a picture of Illinois defensive back Torrey Cox Jr., number 5, knocks down a pass intended for South Carolina tight end Joshua Simon, number 6, in the end zone during the second half of the Citrus Bowl NCAA football Tuesday in Orlando, Florida. It was a good game. Read through a couple news briefs. Hoopston Library plans winter break scavenger hunt. The Hoopston Public Library will have a winter break scavenger hunt. The event takes place at 2 p.m. Thursday, January 2nd, at the library at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston. There will be prizes and goodies for all as teams race around Hoopston to complete the winner list. And then Westfield Library to show movie. Wednesday afternoon at the movies returns to Westfield Public Library, January 8th at 2 p.m. Participants will watch Reagan, starring Dennis Quaid. Light refreshments will be served. On January 8th at 10 a.m., the library will have a preschool program. The children will have story time, a craft, and snacks. Call 217-267-3170 to register. Just like a minute and a half left. Several deaths last year. Just kind of looking through they have a whole page of them here. Let's see. Bill Walton. And he starred that's UCLA. That's a different one. I'm sorry. Ethel Kennedy, wife of Robert Kennedy, died. She had 11 children after he was assassinated and remained dedicated to social causes and the family's legacy for decades thereafter. And let's pick one more here. Richard Simmons. He was 76. He was a television hyperactive court jester of physical fitness who built a mini empire in the trademark tank tops and shorts by urging the overweight to exercise and eat better. So that's pretty good. And then Bob Newhart, he was a deadpan accountant turned comedian, became one of the most popular TV stars of his time after striking gold with a classic comedy album in July of 18th. So anyway, that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. I hope you all have a happy new year. Looks like it's going to get some snow this weekend, so be prepared. Hopefully y'all have a good new year, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.